I give you a new command to love one another. As I have loved you, you are to love one another. That is the command of the Christ within. The Master spoke from the wholeness of life, not from his personal self, but from the wholeness of life. Therefore, he gave his command, which was the only command he ever gave to his disciples. And he says, I give you a new command to love one another. As I have loved you, you are to love one another. Now, the Christ is always conscious of the unlimited power of the presence which is love. To guard against mental and physical chaos, we must not accept any opinion without due regard to whether it corresponds with the whole. For there can be no division in reality, no separation and no distinction. If you accept any opinion then, without due regard to whether it corresponds with the whole, you are caught up in the false. You may reason divinely, but if you are still caught up in the false, that reasoning is of very little value to you. You may say that you are the spiritual essence, but if you're caught up in the false, that becomes just an idea and doesn't release you from the false. Not until such time as you observe that which is false. Then, with divine reasoning, is the double-edged sword that eliminates all these things from the mind. When the mind is caught up with these things, then you will find that there is always trouble. The mind is a troublemaker. The body itself does not create anything. It cannot. Life created the body. And it is life it's still creating in the body. It's life that is still reorganizing in the body. And consciousness is in life. There is no consciousness in the body when it's inert. There is no movement in the body. It doesn't create anything of itself. As we saw the other night, it was consciousness reacting to things external to itself. Consciousness aware of this and consciousness aware of that. But there is a period when you can prove that pain will disappear. I know very well, during the last World War, I was wounded 4 times. And once very severely, where I got a bullet right through the neck. Went right in one side and out the other. Naturally, they had to be dressing, and there was terrific pain. I could remember so often in the afternoon sometimes when I was tired, what I would do, I'd go into a sort of a semi-sleep, you see. And I'd find the pain fading away from my consciousness, still I was conscious. And I used to hang in between that state of sleep and consciousness and become aware of a perfect peace where there was no pain whatsoever. Then I would fall off to sleep. 3 or 4 hours afterwards, I would wake up. I would still be unaware of pain until such time I would say to myself, where's that pain now? And immediately I began to become conscious of it There it became excruciating. I knew perfectly well then that there was a consciousness that was free from pain. And I know also well that in the mind there is the consciousness of pain. There is the consciousness of this and the consciousness of that. And reacting to the physical, we find that in the mind, to a great extent, controls a great deal of our emotions, our thoughts, our feelings. You say that your ear hears and your eye sees. But if the mind did not see, just the eye and ear heard, you would have no understanding of what you saw or heard. Therefore, it is the mind that sees, it's the mind that hears. And we must realize that behind the body there is this tremendous power of recognition, which is in the consciousness. And it is to observe what is in the mind. Observe the false things that are in the mind, and then reason divinely. We will see there can be no reality, any evil at all, because there is only one, which must be eternal and ever-present reality. There can be no reality in separation, because there is only one in which there is no division. There can be no reality in personality, because there is only one reality which is indivisible. There can be no reality in sin, because truth is all there is, and there can be no sin in truth. Truth is all there is or can be. Truth is indivisible because there is nothing else to divide it by. Truth is unchangeable because there is nothing else that can change it. I am the eternal truth, as there is nothing else for me to be. All else is illusion. Therefore, there cannot be good or evil, for truth is one and indivisible. All these things, you see, the false conditions are in the mind. It is the mind of man that has brought into operation these illusions. But when you discern the things that are false, then you will see clearly what the wholeness means, and you will not accept any opinion, any idea, without due regard to whether it corresponds with the whole. Then you are free. He who believes in a lie is also a liar. The self is in the error of believing in the false that lies. It's the self that is separate from the infinite self, the self that has gone away from reality, the self that is trying to expand itself. But immediately the self becomes aware of the one self which is real, which is infinite in its nature. Then that self loses itself in the infinite, as the Master said. If you seek to save your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life, you shall retain it. The separate life and distinctive life in the individual as a means of separation is a lie. And he who believes in this lie is also a liar. The perception of the nothingness of the self destroys the error. If any man came after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. The presence is love, in which is wisdom and truth. The whole world is looking for the love that will set it free. But how can the world be free if the individual is not free? Because the world is the individual, you and I. Love is the divine nature in mankind. These are truths you cannot deny. All there is reality. God is all there is, and because all is God, God must also be mankind, because there is no division, no separation anywhere. Thus the Christ is God. So Jesus says to his disciples in John 16:34-35, he says these words, I give you a new command, to love one another. As I have loved you, you are to love one another. And by this, everyone will recognize that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. This is man made in God's likeness. Now, if you look into your own minds, you will readily see that which is false. If you have followed a belief, you know that that is a belief. If you know what a belief is, then you will discern what it is, and it will no longer hold you bound to that belief. If you are bound to any particular idea or system, you must discern this and know what it is. Then you shall not be bound by it. But if you're caught up in these things, you shall never know reality. There will always be the self that is hiding this reality. And as long as this self is dominant in mankind, so we will have trouble. It's an utter impossibility otherwise. For the simple reason is this, that the self is going away from reality. Immediately the self recognizes its ways and understands what it's doing, that self will dissolve itself into the whole, and there you find everything, that same self in every other individual. Then there is no craving. There is no trials. There is no tribulations. There is a peace that passes all understanding. The peace I give you is not the peace that the world gives you. John 14:6-7. Jesus says to Thomas, I am the real and living way. No one comes to the Father except by means of me. If you knew me, you would know my Father too, because I and the Father are one. He was expressing the Father. The self had disappeared. It was completely annihilated through the recognition and realization of that which was false, and the understanding of that which was real in itself, being the only reality, indivisible, inseparable, and therefore could only be one. Therefore he said to Thomas, if you knew me, you would know my Father too. Here Jesus was showing that there could be no separation in the Father. The only livingness was the Father himself expressing himself. And Jesus knew that he was the living expression of the Father himself. If you discern then all your ideas, your opinions, and see what they are, you will get down to the bedrock, where you will find peace, In that peace then comes the understanding. Therefore his statement to his disciples, and now you have seen him. Now you have seen the Father. In John 14:8-11, Lord, said Philip, let us see the Father. That's all we want. Here now you can see the disciples. They were wanting to see the Father. You see again how clearly they had to discern the whole truth. They were in a separation. They saw Jesus as something apart and separate from themselves. But he shows them clearly that it is not true. So hear what he says. So Philip said to him, let us see the Father. That's all we want. And Jesus said to him, Philip, have I been with you all this time, and yet you do not understand me? He who has seen me has seen the Father. What do you mean by saying, let us see the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own accord. It is the Father who remains ever in me, who is performing his own deeds. Believe me, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe because of the deeds themselves. Jesus was showing the disciples that his livingness was God, therefore could not be threatened with death, nor fear of death, nor yield to death at all. His life as ours is God Almighty, the eternal living presence, because there can be no division in it, there can be no separation in it, there can only be one, and in that one there can be no division. And that which is eternal cannot be destroyed, and the eternal can destroy a part of himself. That is an utter impossibility. Therefore, the whole teachings of Jesus to his disciples were showing them something that was greater than anything else in the whole world. It was the secret of all their power. Secret of the power that be of any value to them later on. The basis of his teachings was that there was no division. He who does the will of my Father is my mother, my sister, my brother. There was no separation. Jesus was showing the disciples then that the livingness of God was himself, the Christ. The disciples were looking with the physical eyes, but could not understand the livingness of the Christ that is eternal, which could not be seen from without, but could only be seen and understood from within. And you can find this yourselves. I cannot find for you. But if you discern all the things that are hindering this, then it will come to you as clear as day. There shall be no longer any fear of death. And the fear of death is the cause of most of our troubles. Because when we have any trouble at all, we fear that we may die. That accentuates our trouble. And the sooner we realize that we can get rid of this fear of death, then we can rid ourselves of much of our misery. His peace was God, and therefore his peace could not be threatened within harmony or fear, in harmony or discord, nor yield to any inharmony whatsoever. His peace was God Almighty. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. My word shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish that whereto they are sent. This was the pure thought in the recognition of the Master. His thoughts were pure. They were not caught up in any false belief or tradition of any kind. He had eliminated from his mind everything except that he was life itself. And he knew that life being the creator of everything in the universe, and this life was his own consciousness. His consciousness was then pure, not affected by fear of death or anything else. Therefore his thought was pure, expressed from that center of power itself, the very Almighty God. Therefore his word could not return into him void, but accomplish that which it was sent forth to do. Therefore, you will see also, if you can discern your mind until such time as you also recognize that your word shall not return unto you void, it shall carry out what you have sent it forth to do. How many people have asked for help, for sickness? Help in many ways. Do you think that I would sit down and say to myself, well, I hope that person shall be well? Decidedly not. What I know is this, that person is life. That person is God Almighty in the expression. And my conscious awareness of that truth is sufficient to bring that power individually to that individual. So that the subconscious mind, the mind that is permeating every one of our minds, that mind in which you are all tied up with me and I am tied up with you, and we are all tied up together in the one mind, that consciousness that is in you is brought into operation by the absolute purity of thought of the individual who sends forth that word. That's why Jesus said, at this moment, he is well. So, God being all there is, Jesus was showing his disciples this great truth, that God being all, he himself, Jesus, must be in the Father and the Father in him. The Christ, because there could be no division, no separation between himself and the Father. Thus he say that God is all, and there can be nothing else. Jesus says, inasmuch as ye have done into one of the least of these, so you have done it unto me. Again showing that there is no separation. In John 14, verse 12 to 16, 19 to 21, truly, truly I tell you, he who believes in me will do the very deeds I do, and still greater deeds than these. For I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. I will do whatever you ask in my name. If you love me, you will keep my command that you love one another. And I will ask the Father to give you another helper, to be with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth, It was the recognition, the realization of the wholeness, the completeness. His disciples were still at six and sevens because they wondered what was happening to the Master. Here was a little flock, 12, who he had trained, who he had taught time after time. Yet he knew that it would be scattered, because he didn't know the completeness, the wholeness of life. There was something lacking in them, and it was better that he should go, because they were dependent upon the outside Christ. They were dependent upon the Jesus, the man, instead of the Christ that belongs to the whole of humanity. So his words are perfectly clear, as we will see. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me because I am living, and you will be living too. You will understand on that day that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. In that day, they believed in death. But that only belonged to man's mind who lived in ignorance. And here he was saying, on that day then, you will understand that I am in the Father, that you are in me and I am in you. He who possesses my command and obeys my command is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and appear to him. In verse 13, Jesus means, as acting on his behalf, on behalf of the Christ of God, the creativeness that is ever within us. In verse 17, Jesus is aware that the world would not receive this truth because it was bound up in formalities, ritual, and tradition in which the world believed. Therefore, the world neither sees nor knows the Christ, nor him who sent him. It is the same today. Is the world not caught up in formalities and ritual and tradition? If the same thing happened at this very moment as it did 2,000 years ago, it would be a one-day miracle, the appearance of the Master. Everybody would say why he appeared. But they would go on the same old stupid way, following formalities, and following the ritual and tradition, carrying on in the same way because they couldn't think, because they were caught up in the false. That's why they couldn't think. If you're caught up in the false, you can't think either. You're only imitating. You're not believing what some other person has told you. You've never thought it out for yourselves. Therefore, you're ignorant of the truth. In verse 19 and 20, he means that when his disciples perceive that Jesus is living, and they are also living, and yet it is the same life God, you will understand that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. And when the disciples left and went out on their mission, they knew perfectly well from that moment that they were still living and would live as the Master lived. Peter, James, and John, taken up to the mountain, when Elijah and Moses appeared, They had been so-called dead 2,000 years before. But here the Master was showing them a more real state of living. He must have known Moses and Elijah, otherwise he wouldn't have known them then. In verse 21, he who possesses my command and obeys them is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and appear to him. This has already been fulfilled. You love me, I love you because your love. Because of your love, the Master has appeared to you again and has spoken to you, yet sometimes you have don't know it. You are not aware of the fact that these words have come back to you again. There is nothing strange in the sayings of the Master to you, now I hope. It is because of your love that he himself, who was crucified for your sake, loves you because the Father loves you. He has appeared to you to assure you of eternal life. The life that raised me from the dead will raise you. That's what he said clearly. The life that raised me from the dead will raise you. And here is the completeness. You can find this eternal life within yourselves. You don't have to look to the cross to find eternal life. You have to look within, because you cannot find outside yourself. One experiment I was put to was in my training. He said, now try and imagine yourself dead. And keep on imagining yourself dead. And I couldn't imagine myself dead, although I tried to. It was another impossibility. And I found it was not true that death couldn't exist at all. Anybody can try that experiment if they like to try it long enough. But most people are so impatient. They're so filled with the things that are external. Their minds are so filled with the false things that mean nothing. The things that don't matter. And they cannot even, for a few moments, enter into that peace and quiet within themselves to find the Holy Spirit that is eternal and ever-present. Is it not in this hour that you have expressed your love for all, realizing the presence which is love? Therefore, you are blessed. Many are called, but few are chosen. The things that you have seen and heard are not miracles. They are the result of your love and help. Some of you have seen his face, some of you have seen the light, some of you have heard music and bells accompanying his presence. But he assures us that his life, which is God's life, is in us and with us always. Whatever we ask knowing, this to be true, it shall be done unto us. Because we recognize that there is no separation. Whatever we ask, knowing that there can be no separation, that the life in you can in no way be separated from the totality of the whole life in the universe. There cannot be two consciousnesses. There can only be the one consciousness, the one life of God. Therefore, I say to you, when you see that there can be no separation, then you will understand unity. But there is no use of crying, unity, 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 While in your minds you are steeped in separation and your minds are filled with falseness? How can you understand unity if you are still caught up in the false, caught up in beliefs, caught up in tradition, caught up in the self? Not since his sojourn on earth has the scriptures been interpreted as they are to you now. This is because of his presence within us. His love, his wisdom is with us here now because we have cast everything else aside. But that which in itself is reality. The love of Christ for you and me, which is God's unadulterated life and love. In this, then, is the secret of happiness, and in nothing else. Try and find your happiness in anything else, and you will find that it is empty. Verse 22-24, Lord, said Judas, not Judas Iscariot, why is it that you are to appear to us and not to the world? Jesus answered, if anyone loves me, he will obey my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and take up our abode with him. He who does not love me does not obey my word. And what you hear me say is not my word, but the word of the Father who sent me. Surely these words in themselves convince you of the truth. You are the disciples of the Christ of God, because you know that there can be no separation between you, because you love one another as I love you. If you do not love one another, then you can be no disciples of the Christ. That is his command. His command is perfectly clear. I give you a new command to love one another as I have loved you. You are to love one another. And by your love for one another, you shall be known as my disciples. Look into your minds now before it escapes you and see if you do. Is there any criticism there? You can't criticize and love at the same time. If you love, criticism disappears. Have you ever been really in love? Even in the personal sense. A few of you perhaps have, but I think very few of you really have. Because when you have that, even in the personal sense, all sense of criticism, all sense of anything disappears except that you love. That's the love of God. That's the love in human nature. But there is a greater love than that, the love of Christ, which is beyond the capacity of the human mind to understand. The fulfillment of the act on the cross, the complete elimination of the self upon the cross, was to prove the love of Christ. The giving up of everything, yet retain everything. It is indeed a wonderful thing that such a band of silent workers like yourselves are banded together, like the disciples of old, to help mankind to see the light. But you're always thinking in terms of the past. You're always thinking in terms of the disciples long ago. Think now in the terms of the present, this very moment. Because the present is always present, and there's no other time. The presence is present now, and no other time. When you're thinking of the past, you're thinking of ideas, memories, what you read that convince you of the truth. It is the very moment that you have to realize, and not the things of the past, not of the future. Think in terms of the present that you are now, the very disciples of the Christ. Then you can do something. You don't have to wait till some future date or think of something in the past. That something's got to happen to you before it is possible that you become a disciple of the Christ. You are now his disciple. At this very moment, and every moment, you are that disciple. Yet the saying of the Master must be observed, do not cast your pearls before the ignorant, lest they turn and rend you. Although you are capable of seeing clearly and acting purely, the world is still ruled by Barabbas, separation and tradition. This is my prayer, O Divine Presence. Our hearts are united with thine to express thy love for all. Teach us with thy presence to hold our minds free from all illusion. Let the flame of our love, united in thee, soar triumphantly to dissolve the din of social problems and differing creeds and antagonisms that bring strife and misery to the world. The light of thy love alone can dissolve all that hinders thy expression in us all. At all times may we be reminded of our oneness with thee, that we may behold thy presence in others. May we always behold thy unveiled face of peace in the world, so that which we ask will come to pass. That we may behold ourselves in thee, and in others to perceive thee enthroned in the innermost hearts of all souls. O divine loving Father, in whom we live and have our being, unite our hearts as one with Christ in thee. On the sacred altar of united hearts, there to find thy omnipresence enthroned forever. This prayer is inspired by the words of the Master himself. That you hear me say is not my words, but the words of the Father who sent me. Therefore, recognize this truth that I am telling you when I am standing here. When I say to you, when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. When I see you, I recognize the same thing. When I have seen you, I have seen the Father. The Father alone lives. The Father alone is the only living expression. You are the living expression of the Father himself. We are not separated in life. We are united in Christ, the only begotten Son of the Father, himself. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Know ye not? I am in the Father, and the Father in me, and you are in me, and I am in you. I have told you all this while I am still with you, Jesus said. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and recall for you everything I have said. This is the Spirit of truth. And that very Spirit is showing you the very words of the Master, the truth of them. That very Spirit of truth is revealing his words to you as the symbol of truth, which you must recognize within yourselves. Peace I leave to you, my peace I give to you. I give it not as the world gives it peace. Let not your hearts be disquieted or timid. You heard me tell you, I'm going away. I'm coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I am. I tell you this now before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the prince of the world is coming. That is to say, those who wanted to kill him were coming upon him. That was the prince of the world, tradition, belief, ritual, caught up in the falseness, in the world of separation. That was the prince of the world that was coming, and Jesus knew it. But he understood why, and therefore he told his disciples these words. He has no hold on me. His coming will only serve to let the world see that I love the Father, and I am acting as the Father ordered. Then he said, let us be going. Here we see the Master and the disciples rise from the table in the upper room where they had the supper. His words to them were his last words, when he called them to sup with him, so that he could talk with them quietly. And in that hour, he revealed to them the Christ of God. But they did not understand yet, not yet. They were not yet fully conversant of what he was telling them and teaching them. But he knew that the time would come when they would understand all he told them before. When he appeared to them and spoke to them again, then they would understand, but not till then. So Jesus, in a very happy mood, recognizing completely his wholeness and completeness with the Father, that nothing could destroy him, he had no fear of death. He had no fear of anything. He was complete. He was revealing the truth to all mankind. So as he rose from the table, he said, let us be going. Here the Master and the disciples rose from the table in the upper room, walked towards the temple, to pass through the pathway across the Kedron to the Mount of Olives. And we know, we will find out as we go along what happened in the Mount of Olives. We'll see clearly all about it. And we will follow completely the whole story, so we will see the completeness of life, then where there is no separation. And in this alone is the salvation of the world. And in our minds we can feel, as his disciples did, each one in his own way, wondering, dismayed, some fearful, some quite not yet understanding. Some looking forward with slight fear. Fear for themselves, perhaps. But also because they love him. They fear for his life. That was their mistake. He knew better. And eventually they would know and understand. And each disciple dealt in his own way, as the cross, the Kedron, the river, small stream, the stone, to the Mount of Olives, a place that each and every one of us must fall to, that Mount of Olives, where then we find our own selves, not a separate self, but find that self that is in every other self. We will find that Christ within us that was in Jesus. Therefore, I would not spoil this for you by saying any more to you tonight. In your own hearts, you will know what is in mind. Benediction. O divine beloved, in thy presence there is no presence of sin. O divine love, in thy presence of love, there is no presence of hate, anger, or antagonism. O divine power, there is no presence of any other power but thee. O divine consciousness, in thy presence there is no presence of evil. In thy presence that is ever present, Holy One, there is no presence of pride, selfishness, jealousy, envy, malice, cruelty, or revenge. None of these are reflected in me now that I have seen thee in Christ Jesus. Thank you, beloved Father, in whom I live and have my being. Thy throne is in me forever, one with Christ, my beloved.